We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, Knicks fans? Hopefully by now you've heard about T-Squared Social, your new home for Knicks Film School watch parties. The next one on Sunday, April 28th for Game 4 of the Knicks' first round series against the Sixers. Founded by Tiger Woods and Justin Timberlake, this place has everything for a sports fan. Watch the entire Knicks, Rangers, and Islanders playoff runs or other sporting events like the Red Hot Mets and Yankees or other NBA playoff games. T-Squared also wants you to know that even when KFS isn't there, you could still join them to watch all Knicks playoff games from a private viewing area that features the largest screen in New York City, or reserve a table, grab a drink, and order a delicious meal while surrounded by their several dozen TV screens. Take this Thursday, for example. The Knicks play Game 3, the Yankees play the Athletics, the Islanders play the Hurricanes, and it's the NFL Draft. If you're a Knicks fan but also want to multitask, T-Squared will make sure you don't miss a meaningful minute of the action. T-Squared Social, your number one place to watch the next big Knicks game. Get a free draft beer when you tell them Knicks Film School sent you. Visit tsquaredsocial.com for more information.
One timeout remaining. Batum will inbound. Embiid, Oubre's back in with Harris. Maxey's in the backcourt, and they throw it in the backcourt. Maxey to get a running start. Maxey on the drive, goes inside. Lamp, he missed it. And Anobi, the rebound. And a whistle and a foul. With 6.6 remaining. Maxey had a good, clean look, but too hard off the glass.
Maxey needed one more bounce. He was too far away. So he bricked it off the glass. Good harassment by Hardenstein. Knicks are hanging on.
Hardenstein again contesting that shot.
Crowd in a frenzy.
Okay. I'm going to go behind the scenes, give you the floor, Mr. Macri. And
can I get it? Can I grab a beverage?
Yes, go ahead. In fact, okay. I will say something to the fine folks watching online. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We really appreciate it. Over 3,100 people watching live between YouTube and Twitter. If you're here and you're not liking the video, please do so. If you haven't subscribed, please do so. We hit 15K. We'd love to get to 16K by the end of the playoffs, if you don't mind helping us out there. Again, the Knicks Film School postgame show. We appreciate you being here. Again, shout out to DJ Zulu for joining me for the first 45 minutes until John got back from a pandemonium in Madison Square Garden. And now, Mr. Macri, the floor is yours to take it away with the Super Chats.
And I just will say, we'll go to the Super Chats, but I just want to say thank you to anybody who I ran into tonight. Met a bunch of people. It was really great to meet a lot of folks who either listen or watch or read or any way they consume Knicks Film School. So yeah, just really appreciate that. And great night to share with Knicks fans in the city. So yeah. Okay. Let's do this. Hold on. I didn't hear you. I think, oh, there we go. Yeah, Jeremy. Very nice.
I was muted. I said I completely screwed up. I forgot to do something. And that's the last thing we'll do before we head to the Super Chats. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Let's do this.
Okay. Thanks for patience, everybody. Robert W. Cross, we will make you bleed. They'll make you think twice before you think a game's over. I guarantee you that. I just can't imagine being a... I mean, if you're Philly tonight, you're probably telling yourself, we got robbed. We tried to call a timeout. Embiid was complaining about the refs. I don't know what the fuck specifically he was complaining about. He was complaining about something. But whatever it is, it's like... the Knicks are they're Michael Myers, you know, like you burn the house down, they're still there, and Mike Myers, like these Knicks, will make you bleed. So there you go. Thanks, Robert, for starting us off. Jesse M, what's going on, Jesse M? How are you? That is without a doubt one of the biggest heist stolen victories in NBA playoff history. Oh my God, I'm shaking. I'm looking at Tim Bontemps just tweeted out. Sorry. Joel Embiid was asked how his team could bounce back from this loss. We're good. We're going to win the series. We are going to win this. We know what we got to fix. We did a better job today, so we are going to fix it. What?
We have read this on the pod already.
Oh, I just saw
you're
it.
Good. No. He tweeted this out a while ago. Or somebody tweeted out the video from the scrum. I think it was SNY.
Oh, well, Tim Bontemps just retweeted.
Okay. You're good. Bringing it to everybody's attention again that Joel Embiid, I made a pretty good dad joke in the moment. John, what's the longest river in Egypt?
Is it the Nile?
The Nile. Yes. A place you can visit when this series is over.
Okay, I'm back. All right. Yeah. Jesse, I really can't think. I mean, the 8 points in 8.9 seconds is the one that comes to mind. I know there's been others not involving the Knicks. probably some involving Golden State. I feel like, some of those. I don't know. Like, stuff like this happens in the playoffs sometimes. And now the Knicks need to realize the gift that they got, realize that they, on balance, have probably, like, they need to play better. I'll just say that. Like, the Knicks know they need to play better. And I guarantee you, Tom Thibodeau is telling his guys, like, A, this is not over. And B, like, we need to maybe not clean some stuff up, but like, it's weird because, like, I don't know. That's the thing. It's like, I don't know what they have to clean up. Like, they think they're playing great. They're defending wonderfully. They're getting really good shots. And they were going to lose this game because their star was just kind of off and has been off for a couple games. And they stole it. And I'm just really happy they stole it. And hopefully it leads to a series victory. Because, man, at this point, if they didn't win the series, I mean, that'd be beyond heartbreaking. So let's hope they do. Jesse, thank you so much. Robert W. Cross with another one. Say goodnight, Philly. We aren't losing on my birthday. Let's freaking go, Knicks. So, oh, that's it. So your birthday is coming up for game 3, I guess, is your birthday. Something tells me Philly will be favored. Here's what I'm going to tell you, Robert. Whatever happens on that night, win, lose by one, lose by 31. I mean, they're not going to lose by 31, but you get the gist. Like, whatever happens, just, it's okay, right? You're in a great spot, and regardless of what happens over the next two games, Knicks still got home court advantage. Now, do I think it's important to steal one in Philly at this point? I kind of think it is because, again, here's the thing about Embiid. Embiid is being braggadocious and has a lot of bravado. I believe he believes what he is saying, which is that, like, look, we know we're good. Like, we know we're better than this team. Now, I think he's probably discounting the fact that, like, it's not even just like they like the Knicks should have not let that lead further away to the point that, like, those were good. I'm going to repeat myself 100 times. Those were good shots. Those were good shots that Brunson took. Were they forced? I don't even know what the definition of a forced shot is if you're Jalen Brunson. That's the fundamental thing. And I have to believe he's going to start hitting them. And if everybody else just keeps doing what they're doing, you're in good shape. But I think they got to win one in Philly. I'd feel a lot better if they did. Thanks, Robert. Michael Aaron, what's going on, Michael? That is a gut-wrenching series-ending loss for the Sixers. Not sure how you mentally recover from that. Holy shit. Well, it's going to be a test. It's going to be a test. Look, the Sixers team, they've been through it all. I think they've been through a lot. I know some of their players are on the younger, or like Maxey's young. Oubre hasn't been, I guess, maybe through a ton of playoffs, although Phoenix was the playoffs, Warriors was the playoffs. But Embiid's been to the playoffs a lot. Like, even Maxey's been to the playoffs the last couple of years. Lowry, God knows, Lowry's been there. Like, they're going to come and they're not going to wilt. The Knicks are not going to go out there in game three and see a Sixer team that's just going to lay down. You know, now, Philly, is that the city that's gonna, you know what, they'll probably be fired up. I shouldn't say that. They're gonna be fired up for game three, I'm sure. And if they win that game, you better believe they're gonna be fired up for game four. So, like, you got to keep the pressure on, and you got to start the. I think the most important thing for game three is you got to start to figure some stuff out with Brunson. You got to get Brunson going, and then you go from there. Thank you, Michael. Hush Zoo, I am in tears. Ah! And then a bunch of letters. Yeah. I'm right there with you. Hush Zoo with another one. Supermax Hardenstein now. Yeah. I said it towards the end of the first half. Said, I think this is a Hardenstein game. I think this is a Hardenstein game more than a Mitch game. Because I didn't, and not that Mitch was playing badly at all. He was not playing badly. I thought Mitch had a fine game. I think because they were struggling as much as they were on offense, I'm like, the Hardenstein game. And what do you know? Hardenstein, 30 minutes and took 8 shots, made 7, scored 14, 4 assists, 4 blocks. Pretty good. Pretty good. Jaso focused, Dante. Yes. One of the all-time shots, a plus 11 in a game they won by 3. 19 points on 10 shots, 4 of 8 from deep. Made all 5 his free throws, don't sleep on that. 2 steals. These are big game players. They were big game players in college. They played on the biggest stage in college, and they succeeded on the biggest stage in college. You can count the amount of championship game performances in the NCAA tournament on one hand. Maybe you need an extra finger, but I think you probably count them on one hand over the last 20 years that were bigger than Dante DiVincenzo's championship performance for Villanova when that team won. He's done it. He's not going to shy away from the moment. The confidence that it takes to take that first shot, miss it, get the ball back, no hesitation, none, zero, and make it. That's one of the biggest shots in Knicks history. Like, we'll see what happens in the series. That's one of the biggest shots in Knicks history, regardless of what happens in the series. Okay. Thanks, Joe. Dan Hidalgo, best win I can remember. The why not now Knicks are becoming the don't worry about the details, we're going to find a way to beat you Knicks. Yeah, they do seem to do that a lot. This team hasn't lost in a while. Right? They finished the season winning however many straight games they won. 5 or 6 straight games. Now they've won the opening 2 of the playoffs. At some point, it's going to come to an end. I suspect it will look, the game three is going to be a bear. They will come out. They will fight. I think they will come out. Like I'm was fascinated to see how Brunson came out tonight. I'm more fascinated to see how it comes out on the game Thursday night, because I feel like at this point he's shot so poorly. These might be the worst back-to-back shooting games he's had in his career. Like I'll go back and look at it at some point tomorrow, but does he get to a point where he's just like, well, I mean, fuck it, I can't be any worse, and maybe it takes a little bit of the edge off. I don't know. I don't know. I don't think they'll be intimidated playing in Philadelphia. I know that. They've won there twice this year. Thanks, Dan. What's up, Knicks fans? You know, the other day I was talking to two girls who were telling me how into foreplay they are and how they wish they had more single guys to do it with. No, not that foreplay. We're not looking to get teed up on the pod. I'm talking FOURPLAY foreplay. It's an app where single friends team up and double date other single friends. It's a more fun, lower pressure, and safer way to meet new people, which is exactly why single girls love it. In fact, they love it so much that they make up the majority of teams on the app, as in a 3-to-1 ratio in your favor. Back when I was single, I would have definitely loved this. Look, we all know everything is better with a friend. Just ask Josh and Jalen, even if Brunson won't admit it. And with foreplay, you don't have to sacrifice bromance for romance, because it's a chance to enjoy a night out with a buddy while meeting two new people in a more social environment without any expectation. And the icing on the cake, it's totally free. All right, it's game time. So head over to the App Store now and download foreplay, FOURPLAY, and get ready for a little 2-on-2 pickup. Haitian Ferg, this fucking team.
Sorry. This is what we do. Philly can't play better than this.
Hold on. No, your mic disconnected. You're now on the computer audio. You got to go.
You're muted. Studio.
No, your thing unplugged.
Now I'm back.
Can you hear me now?
No, I'm not.
You have to chill. Oh, my God.
There you go. Now I'm back.
There you go. You can hear me?
Yeah.
This is a fucking team.
Sorry. This is what we do. Philly can't play better than this. They came to win and shut their shit down. Fuck out of here. I'm out the window. Clearly, I'm out the window, too. Unbelievable. Unbelievable game. Thanks, Haitian. Hannibal Miles, I was getting ready to say something about those fourth quarter subs, but that was insane. I guess, I mean, I don't know why. So, look, I didn't have any issue with the subs in the moment. I guess people took issue with some of the subs in the fourth. I thought that was a game that the starting lineup deserved to close. I know Deuce was awesome. I wanted DiVincenzo out there. I wanted DiVincenzo shooting out there. And that's why when he made that, and look, to be very clear, to be extremely clear, there was no moment in the game that was bigger than when Deuce McBride wrestled the ball away. And that's what I wanted to shout out. When Deuce McBride wrestled the ball away from, I think it was Kyle Lowry, and then made a two, that before the events at the end, it was the loudest that it got all game. And I don't know that I've ever felt the emotion in the building that I felt when Deuce did that. And his defense was awesome. I was okay with the subs, but of course I'm probably always usually going to be siding with like whatever the coach decides to do. So don't go by me, but yeah.
The only thing I'll say about the fourth quarter subs, we didn't really bring them up on the, before you got here. I actually think you can't tell the story of the fourth quarter subs without subbing in Boyan, who I thought was going for a minuteless second half. Because putting a play on to play those hit those two threes to break the zone.
Two threes. I mean,
for those who don't know, with about 4 minutes left, DiVincenzo came back in for Deuce, and the Knicks offense kind of stalled, which is why I go to Brunson. Again, it's unfair, but I go to Brunson criticism there because I thought the way the offense was flowing, if you run a couple plays, maybe get a DiVincenzo open, go to Josh Hart, who was hitting shots. He did take an open three, but it was Brunson in isolation the entire like six of the last nine possessions. I don't have an issue with the sub personally. I have an issue with the personnel doing what they did on the court. You can't tell the story of the fourth quarter subs without the... I thought the zone was working, and then Boyan came in after a timeout. After a surprise to me, and he hit two threes to put the Knicks up seven.
Those threes, again, they don't win the game without those threes. I mean, just massive, massive threes. Yeah. Boyan and Deuce, both big time contributions.
Huge.
Knicks Fan Patrol, GMAC, get that bottle from Wifey and drink one for me.
You got it, Nick Fan Patrol.
Oh my goodness gracious.
Gotta let you know when I'm coming out there, by the way.
Yeah. We'll talk about it. Oh,
thank you
God.
Again, cousin. Ooh, it's gonna be a fun night.
This is from Isaiah Hartenstein. Job isn't finished. It's only two games. You have to win four to get it done. He knows. Tibbs has coached them well. Jessica, oh my God. So that's why tonight is different than other nights. Post Seder Joy, Shag Pesach Simak. She did it. Kag Pesach Sameach. Kag Pesach Sameach. I hope I
nailed it. Right.
Let's go next. Thank you, Jessica. Yeah, that one was one for the books, as they say. Thanks, Jess.
Obviously, just to Jessica and all our Jewish people watching, happy Passover.
Yes, happy Passover. Yes.
And to one Benji Ritholtz, I cannot wait for your reaction to what just happened.
Oh, my God. When are we getting it?
I think tomorrow. His availability, when he's texted me what he's available to do this week, has been inconsistent. So I was just like, all right, when you're available, we'll take what you can give us. Like, obviously we honor religious commitments here at Knicks Film School. It's actually helped a bit of every Saturday getting his reaction to what happened on Friday night. Well, now we get a midweek version of that with whatever Benji's reaction is to what happened on Monday night. So we'll see.
I just realized I haven't even listened to the Breen call yet. I'll do that after this is over.
Do you have it on your phone?
I just saw a tweet with it.
Pull it up. Play it up. Put the volume all the way up. Play it live. Maybe really? People haven't heard it yet. Yeah. We've done that before.
Hold on.
It's going to be the intro, so people in the pod will have already heard it. Oh, people can't hear it for some reason. Okay, rewind it.
Hold on.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Two double teams, splits the defense. What? Lowry takes it away, picked up by DiVincenzo. 8-on-24, DiVincenzo, corner to Brunson. Sidestep, three-pointer. Shot. Let's go. Took the pass and went in. Two-point game. Ball knocks loose. And Maxi gets knocked down. Hart takes it away. On top to DiVincenzo. His shot. One goal. Hartenstein, the rebound. Hartenstein gets it out to Ananobi. DiVincenzo, a three. Take a one-point lead. 13 seconds remaining.
We get a double bang, folks. Oh my God. You good over there?
No, I'm not good.
One of the voices of the NBA that we've been blessed as Knicks fans to have as our voice gets to be the narrator of one of the greatest moments in Knicks history. That's poetic. It's why you love sports.
Okay, let's keep going. Ryan Wong, what's going on, Ryan? Don't know what to say. Here, just take my money. Well, thank you. Thanks for contributing. Thanks for being a part. I mean, look, this is one of those nights, and I felt it before the game again because I ran into a lot of people at Penn 6. Shout out to Penn 6, who were kind enough to drop by there, and then just at Madison Square Garden. makes you so thankful to be part of a community. And it's not just the Knicks Film School community, although we're obviously blessed to be to have that and be kind of shepherds of that, but just be Knicks fans. You know, it's like sports have a funny way of uniting us. So yeah, really nice night. Moscow Drug Mule. I remember this one. Dante for the win. Jalen was taking too many contested shots. We were lucky to get the win. Yeah, I mean, I want to go back and watch him. I want to go back and watch him because I were there contested shots in there? Yeah. He's been taking contested shots all year long. It's everything about their offense has stemmed off of the fact that he has taken and made tough shots all season long. Like, not for one game, not for 10 games, not for 20 games, 82 or how many games he played, you know? And the notion that like they can only divert course so much at this point. And I thought, like, for what it's worth, I just thought he's been great in terms of when the opportunity's been there to get his teammates involved. Like, I don't think he's been, I don't know, maybe it's just because I'm just a Brunson fan at this point. Like, I don't feel like he's forcing bad stuff. I get it looks bad because they're not going down, but they've gone down all year. So I don't really know what to do with that. Thanks, Moscow Drug Mule. Manny Campos, hey, Manny, great to hear from you, man. Thank you for chiming in. Long time, though, here. Let's fucking go, Knicks. I love it. Yes. Let's go, Knicks. Hush, Zoo. If Brunson stops shitting the bed, it's a little harsh, we will sweep this. I don't get it. He gets good looks. I understand some are defended well, but he's missing a lot wide open. Yeah, I mean, I'm really, 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 really excited to talk to Fred Katz tomorrow. I believe I'm talking to Fred tomorrow. Because I want to see what he's seeing. And I also want to go back and I want to watch the shots myself and just kind of decide, like, are these mediocre shots for the most part? Are they bad shots? Are they okay shots? Like, what would we grade these shots out as? I kind of almost just want to grade each of them out and be like, you know, and it's just, I feel like I'm going to wind up at a place where I'm looking at it and I'm like, all right, well, there's maybe some that are a little bit tough that he maybe shouldn't take. And then there's just going to be a bunch who was like, oh, I'm okay with it. He'll get better. He'll get better. Guarantee it. Totally. 100%. He'll get better. Thanks, Hushu. Reverend John Ortiz, of all the dramatic things I've ever seen, let's go Knicks. Yeah. Now I can't hear you.
Are you for some muted? Reason I keep muting. Yeah. I will give you my bottle too, which I may end up doing anyway. If you can name the reference that John is alluding to.
I can't.
Do you remember in 2008 when randomly in the middle of the Yankee season, they signed Roger Clemens and he appeared at Yankee Stadium in George Steinbrenner's box.
Yeah.
And Susan Waldman had this legendary, she said, of all the dramatic things.
Man, oh, no, I don't remember that part. I just remember the noise that she made. I don't remember what she said.
Okay. Well, that's that.
A good look.
Yes.
Thanks, bro. David Crockett. You all right there, Dave? We can be critical of JB, and we should be. That's what it is to wear the crown. Yeah, heavy is the head. And when you're not pulling your weight, you know, that's what it is. But all great scorers have to learn that they must win with the pass. This is what that looks like. Yeah, to me, it's all great scorers must learn the balance, right? All great scorers must learn the balance. And the fundamental question to me at this point in this series is, where is the line between I'm going to keep shooting to get myself going because if I don't get myself going, we're not going to win the series versus I don't have it and I know I don't have it and I my teammates may have it more than me, so let me pass this. And well, that sounds great. Where then it introduces to me at least a second, a corollary of the first decision, which is once he starts passing up looks that he would normally take, when does that start to tilt the defense towards making life, I guess, or be emboldening the defense, right? In a way where they're like, well, if Brunson's not going to try to take hard shots, we're just going to, you know, stay home even more on these other guys. But then there's two questions. One, if you're, because then you're throwing the ball back in Philly's court and you're like, well, okay, if they're paying more attention to the other guys, does that maybe open up the floor even more for Brunson? But here's the thing, and this is the other part of it. That only happens if when you're giving up the ball, like the opportunities that other teammates are getting are going down. But then it brings it back to, all right, well, if they feel comfortable with their coverage on Brunson initially, and they feel like they could even help off even more, are all the other players on the court, those shots going to be quality enough? Are they going to be of a high enough quality? You know, because the whole thing is like Brunson gets the dominoes falling, and that's ultimately, I'm talking myself in circles here. I understand that. If he does not continue to get the dominoes falling and putting pressure on the Philly defense and making them feel like we need to divert all this attention to him, I wonder if that will start to lessen the amount of good looks that other players get. Now, as I say that, I am thinking of the moments where Brunson was not in the game and they were getting good looks because Deuce Pride is doing good things. Dante Vincenzo was doing good things. And Isaiah Hartenstein was doing good things. Like, so maybe it is just a matter of like, no, there isn't another quote unquote star on this team, but we got a lot of really talented guys. Now, how long can you subsist on that? And like all of these questions are like really complicated. And I don't think there's like a right answer or a wrong answer. It is, you kind of have to feel your way. But at the end of the day, there is no universe. And I'm not suggesting that this is what you are saying, David, just I'm talking this out for myself. There is no universe where the Knicks are going to accomplish any of their goals this postseason where Jalen Brunson cannot get himself going. So at the end of the day, that is the balance that needs to be found moving forward. Jalen Brunson needs to get going. He needs to get himself going. They need to help him get going to the extent that they can, that they're not already doing. But he also needs to continue to make the right play and recognize that, you know, the right play may be passing it. I don't envy him or them because this is like you're introducing a wild card that they have not had to deal with at all this year. You know, this is the one thing that they have never had to wonder about. In that sense, it is very reminiscent of Julius Randle in 2021, although I do not think that we're heading that down that direction. I don't. I think he will rebound and he will make shots. Thanks, David.
What's up, Knicks fans? Quick break to tell you about our new sponsor, Unified. Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this episode of the Knicks Film School Podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System. And if you haven't heard of the EE system yet, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Whether you're here in the Big Apple or at hundreds of other locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE system technology for yourself? Don't hesitate. Go to unifiedhealing.com/KFS to learn more and find a center near you. Again, that's unifiedhealing.com/KFS. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
Gbo, I'm 48. That's the most exciting win, Knicks win of my lifetime. So if you're 48, figure you started watching basketball maybe when you were 8 or 9. 40 years. That sounds about right. That sounds about right. I mean, I'm thinking the Ewing 3 against the Celtics, right? I didn't see that. That's I'm trying to think of things before my time. Is this the most? I mean, the 4-point play.
That's the one.
The 4-point play, and then I mean, end game 5 against Miami. But that was just a. There wasn't an improbability with that one. That was just a scrap and claw, tooth and nail, the whole thing. The 4-point play was the improbable one with and the moment and they were going to lose that game. So this would probably go second to the 4-point play for me.
That's where I am.
Yeah.
And we'll see how this playoff goes. It might supersede it depending on how it happens to the Knicks. I love that it combines both of the moments in that one happened in the first round, both the moments from 99, the Houston running jumper and the LJ 4-point play.
Yeah.
It happening at the Garden is also what adds to it. By the way, John Macri, we looked at it from a Knicks perspective, right? We compared the ball bouncing off the rim and going in to Allen Houston.
Yeah.
If you're a Sixers fan, has a famous shot happened against you where the ball bounced off the rim and went in?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
If you're a Sixer fan, you must just hate any three that isn't nothing but net.
Different stakes, but yeah.
Different stakes, but you want to talk about PTSD. That's why I'm so curious about Philly on Thursday. Like,
oh, I think they're going to come out with a
They'll be excited. They'll be, I'm specifically talking about the city, the fan base, getting your crowd involved in the game. They are so unbelievably shook by near misses right now, John. They have the Eagles in 2018. Since then, Philly's losing the World Series. They lose the next year. The Eagles losing the Super Bowl. All these Sixers losses. You think we have PTSD? There is PTSD in that building too.
If they're down in the fourth quarter or something, if they go up and then they lose the lead or something, like that's different. But like, I think they're going to be excited. I think they're going to be pumped. I don't think they're going to be thinking about any of that shit on Thursday night. I think they're going to come in with a head of steam. I think that place is going to be rocking. I think the Sixers are going to play extremely well. I would be shocked if they didn't play extremely well. Pat Riley, series begins when the road team wins a game. Road team hasn't won a game yet.
So if the series doesn't begin until the Knicks win game 3, which would put them up 3-0? Yeah, that quote
I,
again, has never
I know
made
it
sense.
Sounds silly, but like...
You look, of all... Hold on. You of all people who experienced more angst about your team when they're winning can't understand another fan base that has been jaded, experiencing angst
of course,
when they're losing?
Of course I can, but I also know... If I'm a Sixers fan, I'm looking at this and I'm like, Embiid looks good. Maxey's been awesome.
That's not the chatter out of Philly. Joel's at 50% is the chatter out of Philly.
Okay, you're right. You're right. You're right. You're right. 12 of 29. You're right. Absolutely right. That was my bad. That's incorrect statement by me. Joel looks good enough considering how good Maxey has looked. And considering that their plan against Brunson seems to be working, they have what I could, if I was a Sixer fan, if this was a Sixer post game right now, what I could talk myself into a sustainable path to winning. They're down 2-0. That's the problem, you know, and you lost. And like, I would be so in the moment tonight if I were a Sixer fan, like I'd be beside myself. I'd wake up tomorrow morning and be like, let's go get 2 in Philly. That's what I'd be thinking. And I really, like, I'm just saying it right now. I would really, 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 really not like to have to go back to the Garden tied 2-2.
So before we even go down that road, because we're enjoying tonight and not bringing up any scenario where the doubters see that, that's my point, though, is that you can understand the perspective because you're already thinking about, well, what if we come back 2-2?
Of course.
If the Knicks had lost a game like this, you would not be waking up tomorrow with, like, you know what? We're coming back to the guard. The Knicks lost a series like this against Boston in 2011. Like, you would not be thinking that. And I'm telling you that there are Sixers fans with a similar type of angst. They're like, oh, my gosh, it's happening to us again.
If they lost tonight, I'd be like, all right, let's figure out how to steal one in Philly. That's all I'd be thinking.
Back home. No. I'm saying if the Knicks had lost like the Sixers did these first two games with and Embiid, with, if this was Sixers film school, we've been doing years of post games with playoff heartbreak after playoff heartbreak. And here they are going up against another team. Look, you're a New Yorker at heart. You have the attitude of a winner and the next man up. And we're toughness and we wear hard hats and lunch pails and all that nonsense. But it's part of the identity of the city. And it's why we wake up the next day ready to take it on. And I'm saying you can't spell Philly without back-to-back L's, and they know it, okay?
If I'm Philly, one win was about rebounding. Really, at the end of the day, you put all the bullshit aside, it was about rebounding. And then tonight was inexplicable, right? And, you know, Knicks got to win two more games. That's what I'd be thinking if I was Philly. Knicks got to win two more games. I would assure everybody that, like, the Knicks are going to take this extraordinarily seriously in game three. Like, they're going to come out and they're going to try to take this. I just think it's going to be a very, very hard game. That's all.
I agree with you. And Hartenstein even spoke words. Yes. I'm specifically talking about the fan base, John.
I know.
I'm specifically saying,
I don't give a fuck about the Philly fan base.
But I'm giving you perspective is what I'm saying. And you're trying to tell me, no, they're going to be fired up. They're going to be pumped. They're going to be excited. No, they're going to be nervous from the opening tip.
I think they're going to be fired up. I think they're going to be excited. I think it's important. There's a couple of days off between the two games. And again, I don't know how much it matters one way or the other. It's about, is this Sixer team mentally tough? And there's a lot of people who would look at them and be like, no, they're not. Just look at what they've done in the playoffs the last few years. They are the opposite of mentally tough.
That fan base probably agrees with you.
I'm still giving them the respect that I think they deserve.
I give the team respect. I do. I don't think this series is necessarily, look, I don't know a team that comes back from a loss like that. There's just not historic precedent that you get your heart ripped out and you come back from a loss like that. But
the Knicks almost did.
Which one? Oh, you're talking about
8.9 seconds.
How the series end. As much as I hate to say it, like, that's what I'm talking about. You then still have to try and win a fifth game in the series.
A finger roll goes in and we're
in overtime.
You know, I mean,
but that's the point. You then have to win an extra game in the series. And I was saying that at about game one, if you're a Sixers fan. Now it feels like you have to win six of the seven games.
I understand.
That's all.
No, I get it.
Hold this L, Philadelphia. Hold this L.
Jasso focused. Devin. Did I get that right?
Yeah, you did.
Thank you, Ja. Key Huber then. This team, man. I love this team. Coach and front office. You think JB can figure something out, though? Yeah, of course I do. Of course I do. He's a great player. Great players figure out how to... They figure things out. Pretty sure he's not the first great player to have back-to-back bad games in the playoffs. Bad shooting games. I don't think he's let it impact him in other ways. Again, I don't want to keep going over the same thing. So putting aside the issue of, like, well, should he be passing out of some of these looks that he's made all year? Or should he be continuing trying to take them? Like, everything else, I think, is like he's continuing to contribute. Like we talked about, he got 7 assists and 7 rebounds in game one. His defense was as good as you're going to expect it to be. 8 rebounds, 6 assists tonight, you know? And the thing that he was better at tonight that he was bad at on Saturday, five turnovers on Saturday, one turnover tonight. So we clean that up. I mean, he missed a ton of shots, but, you know, and again, we're sitting here and we're killing him, right? We're killing him. We're killing him. We're killing him. We're killing him. And he deserves to be killed. You're never going to see him shoot that bad two games in a row. It's 24 points on 29 shots. I'm not saying it's good. It's been bad. It's very bad. But like, this is rock bottom. 24-8-6 with one turnover. Like, that's rock bottom for Brunson. It feels like that, which speaks to how he's a really special player. Thank you, Yugi Huber, then. Oh my God. I just saw, are we really selling this t-shirt? We are really selling this t-shirt, my Lord. Ryan Shepherd, what's going on, Ryan? The only words I have is that I have no words for what I just saw. Hashtag this fucking team. Again, it's 2 hours since the game ended, and I still don't have the words. I'm like settling back into like my mode of like, all right, let's think about the series. Let's think about the adjustments. Let's think about who has the advantages and the dis and all this stuff. It feels like a dream. Doesn't feel real. I know that. Thank you, Ryan. And thank you everybody for your patience. If you sent in, I know everybody sent in these super chats super early, and it's taken us a while to get there. We're going to get through all of them. I promise. I'll try to do it somewhat expeditiously while still giving people the time that they deserve here. So thank you again, Ryan.